Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
John Lithgow was a transsexual ex-football player in the world, according to GARP. He meant to lead an alien invasion of Earth, but stuff kept getting in the way in the TV sitcom Third Rock from the Sun. He revealed his inner Broadway belter in The Sweet Smell of Success, and more recently played a super scary serial killer in the Showtime series Dexter. But John Lithgow has another career, children's author, and his latest book is called Never Play Music, Right Next to the Zoo. John Lithgow, welcome to Soundcheck.
Very, very nice to be here, John.
So when did you, was this like in between episodes of Mass Murder that you wrote this book?
Actually, in truth, I wrote it about 10 years ago and collaborated with a wonderful composer, Bill Elliott. And we have been performing it ever since with various orchestras. It's a child's guide to the orchestra piece, a sort of fun musical story, which I have finally turned into a children's picture book.
So was the intent from day one that it would be a kind of a musical thing as well as a picture book?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. The whole premise of it is, in the course of the song, the spoken song narration, in the musical background, the musical arrangement, the instruments bit by bit sound like they're being played by animals making a good faith effort to play music. And it's very, very funny. It's like a musical joke.
Yeah. And sort of like, I mean, it's not quite in the vein of Peter and the Wolf or you know, Benjamin Britten's Young People's Guide. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not like this is what a bassoon sounds like, but it is like this is what an orchestra sounds like if the animals got at
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And there's a whole section of it where different animals play different instruments, and you hear them in the scoring. Bill is an ingenious arranger, so mm-hmm. he did that too.
And he's the conductor of the orchestra that we hear in the recording.
Yeah.
This is the recording that comes with John Lithgow's book. It's called Never Play Music, Right Next to the Zoo.
The soft summer air was so balmy and sweet, and the program was running so long that I found myself falling asleep in my seat. Despite all the music and song, all at once the conductor erupted with rage. A band of wild animals was storming the stage. Oh, children, remember, whatever you may do, never play music right next to the zoo. They'll burst from their cages, each beast and each bird, desperate to play all the music they've heard. The lions and the elephants, the bears and the raccoons will steal away the trumpets, the flutes and bassoons, replace the musicians and chase them away. Then they'll sit in the band shell and play.
That is my guest, John Lithgow, the celebrated actor who is also, this is by no means your first children's effort.
It's my ninth, actually.
Yeah. But it certainly is a musical one. Never Play Music Right Next to the Zoo. You have several clever rhymes for bassoon. Are you a fan of the bassoon in particular?
You've noticed that I've overused the word bassoon in my rhymes. Not really. I only go according to what fits the rhythm and the rhyme, mm-hmm. which is why I end up using so many ridiculous words.
You've also written a lot about animals.
Mm-hmm.
I got two dogs. I'm a manatee.
Yes.
Carnival of the Animals.
Marsupial Sue, the young kangaroo.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, does this grow out of your own experience with your own kids? I mean, kids love stories about animals.
Kids do love stories about animals. And certainly songs about animals. Almost all of my kids' books, of the nine, seven of them are things that I do in concert with kids. And somehow or other, animals creep into practically everything.
Mm.
The codfish ball, the hippo song, you know, I'm a gnu. And in fact, in concert, I play a game with the kids, mm-hmm. Guess the Animals, where I start drawing the animal. They have to guess what it is before I finish.
Now, the gnu song, is that an original thing or is that the old
Flanders and Swan? No, I've rifled
through. Another gnu.
Exactly. and mud, glorious mud, and I find songs from Betty Boop and Shirley Temple and Cab Calloway and Danny Kaye. I just love finding, going through Tin Pan Alley history and finding things that can be retooled for kids.
So when your kids were younger, were they a kind of lab, were they test cases for you? Did you?
Somewhat. I certainly began entertaining kids when I had my own kids. My oldest is 41 years old, so I've been doing it a long time. But I started getting, it started becoming a big deal pretty much when I became famous through Third Rock from the Sun, and I got an opportunity to make albums and do Carnegie Hall concerts. By that time, I was a terrible embarrassment to my kids. They'd outgrown me.
So there are all these children's books, and then there are the albums, like Singing in the Bathtub, which is, a collection of these older songs. Including a version of A, You're Adorable. This again, my guest, John Lithgow.
Now here's the song that goes along with the letters. Are you ready? Here goes. A, you're adorable. B, you're so beautiful. C, you're a cutie full of charm. D, you're a darling. And E, you're exciting. And F, you're a feather in my arms. G, you look good to me. H, you're so heavenly. I, you're the one I idolize. J, we're like Jack and Jill. K, you're so kissable. L is the love light in your eyes. M, N, O, P, I can go on all day. Q, R, S, T, alphabetically speaking, you're okay. And you made my life complete. V, you're so very sweet. W, X, Y, Z, it's fun to wander through the alphabet with you to tell you what you mean to me. Now this time,
John Lithgow and friends.
Friends.
A, You're Adorable from his album Singing in the Bathtub. John Lithgow's latest book for kids is called Never Play Music, Right Next to the Zoo. It is out now with illustrations by Lisa Hernandez and music by Bill Elliott, who conducts the orchestra on the CD that comes with the book. John will be doing a book signing tomorrow, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. at McNally Jackson on Prince Street in Soho here in New York. So what kind of music did you grow up with in the house?
Actually, a lot of the songs that I have sort of remembered. Danny Kaye was a huge thing in our household.
He did that Tubby the Toot. No, was that Danny Kaye?
Danny Kaye, he did everything.
Yeah, I think he did Tubby the Tuba.
And he did a wonderful sort of novelty concerts for adults. I mean, he was really a great, almost vaudevillian. He had Danny at the Palace was a record we must have played 1,000 times. It had triplets. It had the lobby number. I did triplets on Singing in the Bathtub, the Singing in the Bathtub album, singing all three roles in triplets, three little unexpected children simultaneously. And my sister and I would sing them all together. My parents, they were great big band era jazz aficionados. We always had Benny Goodman and Glenn Miller playing in the house.
So when the rock and roll era came in the 50s, would that have been, I'm trying to do the math here, would that have been in your sweet spot?
Yeah, I would say sixth grade, Elvis Presley was, that was Don't Be Cruel, Hound Dog.
Yeah.
And that, that I internalized that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, earlier this week on the show, we were talking with a number of writers about, and some of our listeners, about that one music teacher. It didn't have to be a music teacher. It could have been an English teacher, a soccer coach, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
That one teacher who sort of like kind of turned your life around, left a lasting impression.
Yeah.
Did you have that one person?
I had a couple of great, great teachers. I must say, until about the age 18, I was fully intending to be an artist and not an actor.
A visual artist.
Yeah. And I had a great teacher in Akron, Ohio, in the public school system named Fran Robinson, who was an artist herself. And it was a wonderful era of art in schools. I had two periods of art at the beginning of every single school day. Mm. It was like going to art school in 9th and 10th grade.
Yeah.
And that's when I became very, very serious about painting. Unfortunately, I heard a little bit too much laughter and applause as soon as I got to college. I'd grown up in a theater family, so I was destined and doomed to be an actor instead.
You discovered all that USDA grade A ham within.
Exactly. And a great disappointment to Fran Robinson, God bless her.
Yet you still remember her name, which shows the kind of importance.
I even remember specific instructions and lessons from her. I remember her making a difference in my own art technique. You know, those people really brand you. I also had a great, great language teacher a little later named Carmine Prezioso, who was an incredibly theatrical...
What a great name,
very
too.
...very Italian language teacher teaching me French. Somehow he made me speak French in a single year.
Carmine Prezioso taught you French?
Yes, he was a polyglot, you know, many languages. I think he taught me the word polyglot, as a matter of fact.
Well, you have been kind of a polymath as an actor. You know, you've done the whole range from comic to really beyond tragic to like super creepy and scary. I saw you in the Chicago version of Sweet Smell of Success before it came
prior
to Broadway.
Prior to Broadway, yes.
And I think the big surprise to me in that production was you as Song and Dance Man. I didn't know that that was like a part of your DNA.
Well, I'm very flattered that you think I am. I still feel that as a Song and Dance Man, I'm a great actor. But I love doing it. There's nothing quite like performing in a Broadway musical. And that was my first experience. I'd done plenty of singing on stage, but all of it in college. Prior to becoming a pro, you do find as an actor that there are two different worlds, the legit world and the musical world in Broadway theater, and they very rarely intersect.
Why is that?
It's a different discipline in so many ways. You know, there are those unique moments like Rex Harrison in My Fair Lady or Robert Preston in The Music Man or Richard Kiley in Man of La Mancha when an actor actually gets to... It's like unleashing an actor because it really is giving you a chance that you ordinarily don't get. Everybody else is so much better than you at these things.
Well, you not only did well, but won a Tony for Best Leading Actor.
Well, nice of you to remind people.
For the portrayal of J.J. Hunsecker in the Marvin Hamlisch musical called Sweet Smell of Success, here is John Lithgow in that role singing Don't Look Now.
Magicians always tell you they got nothing up their sleeve. But why would someone tell you that unless it's to deceive? There's always been a lie to misdirect the eye since Adam did his magic tricks for Eve. Don't ever trust a gent who pulls a bird from someone's ear, who makes his living making you believe that he's sincere. He's looking for a chump, expecting you to jump, when he pours on all the charm and says, I need a volunteer. Don't look now, but something that you had is gone. It's something you depend upon. Don't look now. Take a bow. Someone made a fool of you.
That is John Lithgow, my guest on Soundcheck, the celebrated actor who is also an author and singer for kids and adults.
That's right.
That's going back over a decade.
Yeah, that was 12 years ago. Marvin Hamlisch, rest his soul. An amazing experience working with Marvin and John Guare and Nick Heitner and Christopher Wheeldon. And Craig Carnelia, who wrote the lyrics.
And Christopher Wheeldon, the choreographer, who has gone on to great acclaim in that field in the 10 years since. It was 2002 that you won the Tony for Sweet Smell of Success.
I have to say, that's the first time I've heard me singing that in about 10 years.
Yeah?
It's thrilling. I'd forgotten all the words.
Now, jumping to something quite different, I mean, recently you were on a series of Dexter,
mm-hmm.
playing his kind of almost like competing serial killer,
yes,
I
yeah.
suppose. You know, having the opportunity to do a role like that, I mean, is part of the lore of that that, again, this is something people won't expect from you?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. Anytime you get the chance to upend people's expectations, you can manipulate them in all sorts of ways.
Right.
I had the same experience when I first did Third Rock, and nobody had seen me clown around like that. Nobody had seen me be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And just when they're completely accustomed to me being funny and domesticated, I play a hideous, terrifying serial killer whose cover is being a very normal, mm-hmm. almost inconspicuous man.
So do you find people approaching you out on the street a little differently these days?
Well, fortunately, they sort of remember Third Rock, too, and they're so tickled that I did both things. It's nice to be known for doing many things rather mm-hmm. than being very well known for doing one.
John Lithgow with us on Soundcheck today. The new book for kids comes with a CD. It's called Never Play Music, Right Next to the Zoo. You actually, in Footloose, in the movie Footloose, mm-hmm. you play the pastor who hates
rock
dancing.
Rock and roll music. Yes, you're right.
That sounds like that was really playing against type for you.
Yes. As a matter of fact, when we shot that film, it was me and Diane Wiest and a whole bunch of young, early 20-year-olds, if not teenagers, in Provo, Utah, a fairly straight-laced town.
Mm-hmm.
And Diane and I were the wild ones. We almost got in some serious trouble there.
You're not going to go into detail?
Well, I do remember there was a memo posted the morning after we all swam nude in the motel pool. They're still talking about it in Provo.
Now, one of your sons is, by your own description, a sommelier and a rock bassist.
That's right.
I got that off your website.
Yeah.
So do you listen to that? What kind of music does he play? I mean, what species of rock?
I don't know enough about rock these days to be able to give it a title, but it's indie rock. Him and
okay.
he's created a band called Elder Brother.
Uh-huh.
Brand new. I mean, they've only performed live about three times, but he's worked with a couple of bands. He's played with My Brightest Diamond.
Oh.
I believe I've heard them on this very show.
Absolutely. Shara Warden.
Yeah, Shara. He's toured with Shara. He's seen more cities in the world than I have.
So what do you listen to these days if it's not, you know, what your son is playing?
I'm afraid I'm a classical music listener. I listen to classical music practically all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so out of it when it comes to what's really happening. I don't know why I don't catch up. I'm too lazy, really.
Well, you know, but we find that there are a lot of, especially in like your son's generation, a mm-hmm. lot of musicians for whom those distinctions between classical and rock are, I mean.
Absolutely.
Nico Muhly, whose opera is at the Met right now.
Yeah.
You know, a guy who's worked with Bjork and The National and all these other rock stars. And,
yeah.
Moves
yeah.
very freely between those worlds.
Well,
so.
I know that's true. But, I mean, I'm not being a musician myself, you know, it's one of my great regrets in life that I was never really trained at anything when I was a kid. And I only learned mediocre guitar when I started entertaining kids. I'm sort of inflexible, I guess. I mean, I just can't go there.
For someone whose career has shown a lot of versatility, I don't believe that at all. John Lithgow, the actor and writer and singer, has been with us on Soundcheck. His new book is called Never Play Music, Right Next to the Zoo. It is out now, and John will be at McNally Jackson, the bookstore on Prince Street in Soho, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. for a book signing. And, John, it has been a real pleasure having you
John,
with us.
I'm so flattered that you would have me here, really.
Oh, children, remember, whatever you may do, never play music right next to the zoo. They'll burst from their cages, each beast and each bird, desperate to play all the music they've heard.